You're listening to Divorce Literacy with the Divorce Lending Association, a divorce podcast where we dig deep into issues of divorce that center around the marital home, other real property, and divorce mortgage planning, helping divorcing homeowners and their divorce team make more informed decisions regarding home equity solutions during and after divorce.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Adam Coleman. I'm a certified divorce lending professional with the Divorce Lending Association. And with me today, I have Robin Mermans, who is a collaborative family law attorney, a certified mediator, and founder of Road to Resolution here in Charlotte. So, Robin, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. We just wanted to get a little bit more information about you and learn a little bit about your experiences. So I guess if you don't mind, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and what made you decide to go into family law, specifically helping divorcing clients.
Yes, I'm actually on career 3.0 for me. I went to law school as an adult, and what brought me there was when I had two young children, 3 and 6, my then husband and I decided that we would be better apart than together. And we started the process like most people do. I hired an attorney. He hired an attorney. We both paid our retainers. We were still living in the same home. And fast forward 6 months, we're still living in the same home. Our attorneys no longer have their retainers because they've blown through them, and we are no further along than day one.
Right.
And it actually created more conflict than collaboration because we were advised not to speak to each other, not to talk about any finances. And we ended up in our garage, fast forward like another 6 months, where we were frustrated. And we literally sat down and said, okay, you take this, I'll take that. There was a home actually that one of us wanted to move into that was close by. It was on the children's bus route. It made total sense. And we figured out, okay, well, how do we need to structure this so that one of us can go and purchase that home? And we essentially created the stipulations, which became our separation agreement, and then also the financials surrounding it. And once that process was done, I was actually working at a Fortune 100 company in their legal department, but not as an attorney. I was in compliance. And so I knew enough to be dangerous and had enough lawyers around me to be able to gather some information. But after that process was over, I left that job and I went and got my mediation certification, family financial, specific to divorce. And I hung a shingle out and I started mediating. And with the goal to help people going through this similar scenario that I was, untangle in a more intentional manner that's supported by the attorneys, or at least the people that you've hired that you're surrounded versus against. And I did that for about a year and realized I am in the gray area of unlawful practice of law and decided to go to law school. So I went to law school, and at the time that I went to law school, I knew I wanted to do family law. I did not know about collaborative. Believe it or not, collaborative had been in existence and in statute for over 7 years when I went to law school. It was not discussed once in law school. And even during my family law class, it was only after I graduated, started practicing, that I learned about collaborative law. And I was like, this is it. This is exactly what I'm looking for. It's the practice of law with the problem-solving mentality of mediation. And so I, you know, my practice is solely focused on collaborative. That's all I do. And I know where I can meet my clients where they're at because I've been where they're at. And people who come through my door, when they go to my website, they know I'm not the one going for the jugular, right? I'm problem-solving. I'm helping them transition from being one economy and one family unit into two. And so that's what brought me to what I do. And I love it. And I feel like my divorce, believe it or not, was one of the biggest blessings of my life. It gave me a career that I love and a chance at a second marriage that has been very successful. And so that's what brought me to this.
Interesting. Well, you have a unique perspective on this too, just as a mediator and collaborative divorce. I guess, how do you kind of compare and contrast the two? Like, what do you like about collaborative over mediation or vice versa?
Yeah, I mean, I think the pros of mediation, and again, there's two types of mediation, right? So there's what we call pro se mediation, where the parties represent themselves and there's a single person neutral helping them come to some decisions. And then there's what's called caucus mediation, which is used in the litigation context, also in the collaborative context, where you have a lawyer and a client in one room, a lawyer, the other lawyer, and the other client in another room, and a mediator goes back and forth, and that's called caucus mediation. So in terms of caucus mediation, I am a huge proponent of it. There are times, even in collaborative, where you need that outside voice to help clients through a knothole, right? And I think it's a tool in the toolbox that is very effective. Pro se mediation, I also think, can be very useful. The hard part about that, or the con of it, is you can't give legal advice. So people generally come to a lawyer or a mediator and they want advice to help them through it. So I generally reserve pro se mediation for couples that don't have a lot of assets, don't have children, and they just need to figure out how to untangle what, you know, who's going to leave the apartment that they're renting. And so, because it's really hard to mediate, which is why when I started doing it, I realized it's really difficult. I need to go to law school. It's hard to really maintain that neutrality and not give legal advice when you have two people trying to untangle and there's legal issues throughout that process.
I guess for people that are not familiar, and I guess if they watch this, they probably have heard about collaborative quite a few times, because I know I've spoken to it a little bit, but maybe give a quick summary on what the true collaborative divorce process is versus what most people kind of view as the traditional divorce attorney role.
Yeah, so that's a great question. Collaborative is a process. It's not a behavior. So it is governed more, most importantly, the overarching theme is, in order for a case to be considered a collaborative case or to be a collaborative case, by statute, that case with the two clients and the two attorneys must sign what's called a participation agreement. And it's a 4 or 5 page document that essentially says, we agree to full voluntary disclosure of all information. We agree that we're going to approach this in a problem solving mentality. We agree to bring in neutral, either financial advisors or child and family therapists to help guide us. But most importantly, and is required by statute, is in the event that the clients and attorneys can't come to an out-of-court agreement, then the attorneys have to recuse themselves, and they nor anyone in their firm can represent those clients. So essentially, they have to start all over again. And so people often say to me, like, oh, I had a collaborative divorce. And I said, oh, did you sign a participation agreement? They're like, what's that? I'm like, you didn't. Was your divorce collaborative? Yeah, probably. And good for you. Great. But was it a collaborative divorce with a capital C and a capital D? It was not and cannot be unless you have that agreement in place.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the difference that people think. They're like, oh, it was amicable, but it's totally night and day different between right. The whole process of a big C collaborative divorce that I still don't think a lot of people realize. And like you mentioned, they didn't really even reference it in your law school, which is kind of bizarre to me, but hopefully that changes. Do you know if that's actually changing? Are they incorporating it more now, or is it still kind of an unknown for people going into the field?
Well, interesting that you asked that, because we actually reached out to Elon Law and we are giving a presentation on it because I am trying to change that.
Well, and I know, like, one of the questions I was going to ask is related to, I guess, different skills and qualities for like a good family law attorney, but I would say that they probably differ depending on what type of path you want to take. You obviously have the litigation path, you have the collaborative path, you have, I guess, kind of in between, maybe with some kind of amicable side. Are there specific skills and qualities that you view as important for a consumer that might be thinking about going down that divorce path and maybe not knowing which direction they want to go with it, whether they need to go litigation or more of a collaborative side like you handle.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are certain qualities that every attorney needs to have. I think they need to be organized. I think they need to be intelligent. They need to have good analytical skills. But in terms of collaborative, I think the key traits that you want to look for in a collaborative attorney is compassion, right? In law school, you're not taught to be compassionate. There are often times where someone comes in my door and they are a mess because they just found out that their spouse is leaving them. And the spouse, you know, is emotionally years ahead of them because they've been planning this and then they've just gotten run over by a truck. Right. And so having compassion for where they are in that moment and understanding they likely shouldn't be making any major legal decisions. And so just again, compassion for where they are. I also think another key component for a collaborative divorce attorney is self-awareness. So I know that there are certain things that I would like to see all my clients walk away with. And I need to check that at the door, because if it's not what my client wants to walk away with, I need to be okay with that. Because at the end of the day, they have to move on with their life and it's their future. It's not mine. And so while I may say to my client, like, that's a large portion of your income that you're giving to support the other spouse, who, by the way, has a master's degree and can likely make, you know, a lot of money. And any litigation attorney would probably not allow you, quote unquote, to do that. I need to step back and say, does it comport with our legal system, what you want to do? No, not necessarily, but is it what you want to do? And if that's what you want to do, I'll support you in that. So I view myself as a guide more than, I mean, an advocate, yes, but a guide, really helping them, making sure that they have all the information they need to make informed decisions.
Interesting. I'm assuming it's night and day different from if you're a litigating attorney in terms of where the mindset shift is. But yeah, it's good information. Well, and I'm sure you've had a fair share of challenging cases and rewarding cases, but I guess, can you think of any that were particularly rewarding from the positive impact that you've had kind of on that process?
Yeah. So I had a case where the wife who I represented came in and she was the one that got literally run over by a truck because her husband left. And it was not something she was expecting at all. And she came into my office not in great shape emotionally, psychologically, all the things that you would anticipate. Fast forward less than a year, she was able to get support around her from a therapeutic standpoint. We were obviously a support for her as well. And also just working with her to allow her time to process so she wasn't making decisions in moments that she shouldn't make decisions, as I referenced earlier. We ended up at mediation, caucus mediation. So it was myself and her and my client and then the husband and his attorney. And she walked into the door not saying very nice things about her soon-to-be ex-husband. We left mediation and they hugged at the end of it. Oh. And they've got two grown children. But she realized through the process, like, you know what? He's right. We really didn't have a good marriage. And we helped both of them just come at it with respect and being emotionally in tune to each other, what they needed at certain moments, whether it was space, whether it was decision-making so they could move forward. And it was beautiful, like that they actually hugged afterwards and were like, you know, we may not be a family anymore, husband and wife, but we're still a family. We still have two children to raise and let's make this chapter better than the last.
Nice. Well, it's not typical in a lot of these situations, I know. So that's huge. Well, I guess on that same kind of path down that direction, if somebody's considering this, any final bits of advice or maybe initial steps that somebody should take to try to maybe head down that positive path to make this as painless as possible? I know it's going to be a stressful situation, but any advice that you would give to somebody thinking about going down that road?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I would do is educate yourself. Look into collaborative divorce. There's a nonprofit called North Carolina Collaborative Attorney Network. It's a statewide nonprofit in North Carolina with the mission to promote collaborative and also train collaborative practitioners at a high level. I am on the board, full disclosure, because I'm very passionate about spreading the word of collaborative. Not enough people know about it as an option. The second thing is, you know, we offer, and I think we're one of the few people in town that offer it, and I'm not promoting me specifically, but we offer what's called the pre-divorce education. So we will meet with clients together and have what we call a pre-divorce education. In that meeting, it is very clear, and they've got to sign documents up front. We cannot talk about any legal advice. We really don't get into a lot of specific information about the client and their scenario. We utilize the time to educate both parties together in the same room, so they're hearing the same thing. Is okay, here are the issues that you're going to have to address, whether it's equitable distribution, what is that? Alimony, what is that? Child support, child custody. Those are the issues you're going to have to deal with. What legal documents are they ultimately going to drop into? Are they public? Are they private? Then most importantly, I call that a divorce 101. And then I go into, okay, to get to those documents, to siphon through those legal issues and ultimately end up with those documents that you need to have in order to effectuate a separation and ultimately a divorce, what path options are there? And I have to, by bar requirement, I have to go through all of them. So I explain what litigation is, what it looks like, the pros and cons. I explain hiring litigators who are going to try and settle out of court. This is sort of the pros and cons of that. And then I talk about collaborative and then mediation and the pros and cons to all of it. And so they then can decide, they leave and they decide together what path they want to take. Even if it's hiring two litigators, at least they're starting the process together, right? Versus pitted in two separate corners, which is why I offer the pre-divorce education. Generally, just for background knowledge, Adam, generally an attorney cannot meet with two quote unquote opposing together. It's conflict of interest. But I reached out to the bar and said, I would like to meet with parties, not to talk about the legality of it, but just the nuts and bolts of what it is what a divorce is or isn't, and what the process options are. And they did approve it as long as I explain all the process options. I can't talk just about collaborative and mediation.
Right. Interesting. I've talked to a lot of attorneys. I don't think I've ever heard anybody actually offer something like that. How long does that session usually take?
It's an hour.
Okay. You said, is there a charge for it?
There is. It's just like if someone were to come for an initial consultation, it's the same fee. It's just in this scenario, it's much different scope of what we're talking about in the pre-divorce education. I also offer, just FYI, but I offer a pre-I-do education as well, which is similar. Mm. You know, marriage is a contract. It's a legal contract between people. And yes, it's about love and parties and all those great things. But it's a legal contract with which most people don't know the terms of before they enter into it. And so I offer that as well.
That's interesting. Yeah, no, I hadn't heard of that scenario. So that's interesting that that's available. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. This has been great. If somebody would like to learn more about that particularly, but also about just you and your firm, what's the best place to find you?
RoadToResolution.com. So it's RoadToResolution.com.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, Robin. This has been great.
Thank you, Adam. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Divorce Literacy. Discover more strategies and solutions on divorce mortgage planning at DivorceLendingAssociation.com.